Welcome to State of Affairs. I'm Cameron Lawrence. Workplace morale is like a collective personality. When it's positive, it's enjoyable to be around. When it's negative, it feels heavy and burdensome. How does a manager help foster a positive work environment? Are there specific actions that help create good employee morale? Conversely, what destroys morale? And can it be found once it's lost? I have two guests here with me today to explore this topic with us. Brayton Bowen is president of the Howland Group, a management consulting firm here in Louisville. He is the author of the recently published book, Recognizing and Rewarding Employees. And he hosted and co-produced WFPL's nationally syndicated series, Anger in the Workplace. Brayton Bowen also worked in management for several companies, including Capital Holding and General Mills. Thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And Kent Hall is Director of Human Resources for the Jefferson County Clerk, where he's been since 1990, and he is President-elect of the Louisville Chapter of the Society for Human Resources Management. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Thanks for letting me come here.
Later in the hour, listeners, I hope you will join the conversation. We will open the phones for your comments. What do you think fosters positive employee morale? What destroys it? What experiences have you had along these lines? 814-8255, 814-TALK, or toll-free 1-877-814-TALK. Well, let's jump right into it. What leads to bad employee morale, negative morale? Brayton Bowen, let me start with you.
Well, certainly there are a number of contributing factors to the psychology of the workplace today. One is the fact that we have had a significant number of jobs that are eliminated on an annual basis through downsizing. We're running at the rate of about 800,000 a year. Those who are remaining in the workforce are certainly being forced to do more with less. And the whole uncertainty in terms of the economy, whether people will have a job, we are becoming much more of a free agency in terms of our employees, and the commitment has changed, certainly, between employer and employee.
I'm a little surprised to hear about the number of layoffs. The economy has been booming for the last 3 years. We've heard a little bit of talk about a possible recession recently, but I'm surprised to hear that there have been this many layoffs.
Well, Cameron, that's an excellent observation. The layoffs that I identified are coming through downsizing. That is one classification of employee firings. What's happening is that we are going through a tremendous dislocation, relocation, and those people who are losing their positions are going into other positions. We are certainly becoming underemployed in many respects, where employees are taking lesser paying jobs than what they have been used to in the past. So the dichotomy is there, certainly, but nevertheless, it is real.
Ken Hall, how about you? What do you think creates negative morale in the workplace?
Well, Cameron, I guess I was thinking of a couple of things. I think a classic example would be just job mismatch. And I think what happens a lot of times in the workplace is that we have a situation where I work now where the jobs change, but you don't change with the job. And so you can be in a job for a very long period of time, and as those changes have occurred, you find yourself being frustrated because what used to be satisfactory performance to your employer is no longer satisfactory. And I think the rate of change is really increasing very quickly. And change is coming from lots of different directions. And so people are struggling to try and cope with trying to work in a job where they can get satisfaction and satisfy their employees, satisfy customers. There's a lot of demands on them.
You know, you work for the Jefferson County Clerk. This whole election scenario that unfolded this fall, granted, we did not have major problems here in Kentucky and none in Jefferson County that I know of, but just the general cynicism that people expressed about the election process, is that the kind of thing that might have an effect on an office where you work, for example, or was that just too distant to have any real impact?
Well, I don't think we had nothing on a local level, anything that was indicative of what happened on the national level with the elections. But no, I think we're very proud of Jefferson County and how they conduct themselves with the election returns. But I think the issue when you're dealing with customers is a lot of times you can't choose who your customers are. You have to respond to the customer's needs. And then in certain situations, customers aren't always friendly, they're not always nice, they're not always patient. and that can result in workplace frustration, a workload that can be unpleasant to bear, breakdowns in communication. I think sometimes we feel like we're being clear communicators, but we're not always. And these things can really have a big impact on employee morale.
I think that Kent certainly has identified one of the key factors, and that is the change that is going on in the organizations that we're working in. One of the negatives certainly to this whole process is how we manage change and the degree to which employees are part of the change process and the degree to which employees are excluded from that process. And certainly if they are excluded from the change process, they become less committed to the organization, they feel outside of the system, and that adds to the frustration and the detachment. We've certainly been reading a lot about stress in the workplace and desk rage. Not everybody behaves that way, but certainly these are factors that are stressing our organizations.
So give me an example of the kind of change that might be instituted in a workplace that might or might not include employees in the process.
Certainly changes around work processes. Employees are close to the customer, they're close to the manufacturing process, they certainly make observations about what can be done better, what can be done differently. And in those organizations where morale is low, typically employees are not consulted, they're not involved, and that can be one example. Another is on performance reviews. If employees are not involved in an appropriate process for having their performance evaluated, if they can't contribute into that process, then that certainly is going to add to the morale factor and the feeling of being disenfranchised.
Are there specific things that can be eliminated from a workplace to help improve morale? I'm thinking of something, say, like a time clock that some employees might find demeaning, that they have to punch a clock when they go in and out, replacing that with timesheets. Certain kinds of meetings or certain kind of office design. Do these kind of things really make much of a difference in whether morale is fostered or destroyed?
Cameron, they make a difference to morale to the extent that they are all part of the landscape, and the degree to which employees feel comfortable in that landscape is the degree to which they feel more inclined to get committed and to do the kind of productive work that, honestly, we all come to work to do. I don't think anybody gets up in the morning saying, I want to do the worst possible job at work today that I can. And yet, oftentimes, employees go into work situations where management, either unconsciously or consciously, says, leave your brains and your intelligence at the door when you come in, because this is our world and this is how we're going to run it. Not everybody is that way, but certainly those situations where the employee is working in an environment that is not supportive of their needs and not respectful of their needs, then that's going to contribute to negative morale.
How far should management go in trying to give employees some control over the work environment, the work day, including them in decision making? You know, the old style of management was very hierarchical, and it was very, it issued edicts, and employees were expected to jump when the manager said jump. How far do you think that management ought to go in maybe a more enlightened view of the workplace?
I think management's always a question of balance. And we're on a continuum where you have an issue with how far do I go with trying to empower my employees to act without getting some kind of direction or approval from a supervisor or someone in a position of authority. And back to our issue of change, I think one of the things that organizations have wrestled with is we can't respond to customers' needs and to the changes in the work environment quickly enough if we have a command and control hierarchy where everything has to be blessed by someone in a position of authority. So I know in a lot of organizations, small, large, all kinds of industries, are really trying to empower employees to be able to act and deliver whatever the customer needs and to work with some breadth of control. But I think it's always a question is how far do you go? And I think it can vary within the organization and from time to time. depending on the environment you function in.
How about you, Brayton? How far do you think management ought to go in that regard?
The operative word that popped into my mind when you asked that question is relationships. I think that management can go as far as they would like to have a healthy and constructive relationship with employees. Oftentimes, it's interesting, I hear managers, particularly middle managers, carrying around the same kinds of hurts and angers and frustrations that non-management people have. And it has to do with, as Ken said, the degree of balance, the degree of control. But for the most part, as I suggested in my book, control is an illusion. And I think oftentimes managers think that they have more control than in reality they actually have. The situation that Kent mentioned about customers, for the most part, employees who serve customers directly are responding to a different kind of manager. And I think that that's an important factor that oftentimes the quote-unquote official manager neglects to take into account.
How often is bad morale related to a bad boss?
Very often.
And what do you do about a situation like that? Let's say you're an employee who's got a boss that you've tried to be generous with and patient with, and that person is just a bad boss. They're doing bad stuff in how they treat people.
Well, interestingly enough, I was asked that same question, and I won't recap an article that I just wrote for the American Management Association, but it was on the subject of what do you do with bad bosses. And there are a number of things that employees can do. First of all, to recognize what the situation is, to organize their thoughts in a way that allows them to communicate constructively with what they see to be a problem, and to explain to their boss how it is adversely impacting the work situation, and then come up with some solutions or suggestions in terms of what might improve the situation. And then lastly, offer themselves as a resource or a support person to help with that change effort.